Amen. Today, remember, who am I preaching to? Me. So get what you can. Get what you can, because Pastor Trina was right. You can have a lot of stuff and people judge you. Do you know, because I have a degree, because I've been to school, because I have stuff, folks can't see past me. I can say hallelujah and they hear something else. I can say, let's get this right, and they see me yelling at them. I'm just trying to tell you, it ain't easy. It ain't easy. You have some things in your life. It's not easy being you in certain situations. And so we have to stick on in there, amen? So I need to preach to myself. I need to know that my all things are going to work together for my good. Amen. Amen? Amen? And today, this message is called the commitment test. Now, the last time I talked about commitment, I got in all kinds of trouble. I said A, and people heard Z. So let me just tell you right now, we're not talking about commitment to me. We're not talking about commitment to the church. We're talking about commitment to God and what he's asked you to do. Amen. If that means be down with this church, then it means that. But if it don't mean that, it means whatever it means. We're talking about commitment. We're not even questioning your or my commitment. Today, we want to understand commitment a little bit better. Okay? We want to learn a little bit more about commitment. Are you with me so far? Yeah. The goal is to understand it, not to question it. Now, in understanding it, we might test it a little bit during the course of our evaluation. So in your own mind, in your own heart, in your own private little space in your world, you will see the results of your test as you think about your commitment and what you are supposed to be committed to, or more importantly, what you have committed to. Amen?
Amen.
We all have something that we're willing to fight for. You guys have something you're willing to fight for? You may have somebody you're willing to fight for. You might even have something or somebody that you're willing to die for. You got anything like that? Well, what I want to help us learn from today is while we're all excited, we're passionate, we're committed, there's things and people that we're willing to fight for and we're willing to be committed to. I just want to point out the fact that sometimes our commitment doesn't turn out to be as good as we thought it was. And that's because it turns out the thing that we thought we were committed to has some surprises attached to it. Oh, yeah, I'm down with this until I find out what this actually entails. I'm down with this until I find out what it's actually going to require of me. I'm down with this until I find out what twists and turns are going to go, how deep the valleys might be. I'm down with this. I'm committed to what God has asked me to do until I find out all that's involved with what he's asked me to do. I saw the end, but I didn't see all this stuff I was going to have to deal with. I didn't see how long I was going to have to hold on to that rope. I didn't see how much those rope burns were going to hurt. I didn't see all that. Oh, but I was committed. I am committed, but sometimes there's cracks in my foundation because you are seeing the results of the fact that I wasn't planning on this. This is a surprise to me. God showed me some stuff, but he didn't show me everything. He sure didn't show me today. He did not show me this part of the journey. He didn't tell me it was going to last this long. He didn't tell me the desert was that big. So yes, my commitment is real. It was real from the beginning, but sometimes your commitment runs into surprises. Sometimes you don't know what you really got yourself into. Anybody identify with that? So I'm not here to beat anybody up. I'm here to help me. And then if you get help, great. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Preaching to Michael. Commitment can be tested by the unexpected, the difficulties that you run into or the duration of them, even when you're committed to what God has asked you to do. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 9. Luke, chapter 9. And we're going to consider verses 18 through 25. I'm preaching to myself, get what you can. I'm talking about commitment and the surprises that can come along with the commitment that therefore tests that very commitment. Yeah. Oh, I'm committed, all right. But sometimes it's hard. Luke chapter 9. Going to be looking at verses 18 through 25. Say amen when you, have it. Amen. That's 18 through 25. Now, the context of this is Jesus has just done this amazing miracle. He's fed the 5,000 with the fish and the bread, and it wasn't much, but he multiplied it all many times over, and this is where they're at when this moment comes. And verse 18 says, "And it came to pass, as he," that is Jesus, "was alone praying, his disciples were with him." Now, first of all, that doesn't sound right, I know, so let's just get past it. But when I'm studying, he's alone, but he's with his disciples. Help me understand that. Now, if I take it literally, I can imagine that, you know, you can have folks with you and you can still feel alone. And there's some places that you can go in those quiet moments when you connect with God that you can really feel alone, because you can say, they don't really understand me. They don't actually, they're here with me, but they don't understand the task at hand. They're here with me, but they don't understand what's really at stake. They're here with me, but they really aren't down with the real program. I can be with people and still be alone. It can be lonely. It can be difficult. And so he's praying, and his disciples were with him, and he asked them a question. What does it say he asked them? Yeah, so who do those folks out there that's gotten snippets of me? Who are those folks that got the snapshots of me? Who do they say that I am? That heard one message or saw me one time or got a newspaper clipping of something that I said. Those who have maybe received a miracle or heard about a miracle. Who do they say that I am? And the response is, well, they answering said, "John the Baptist." You might be John the Baptist because he's gone, but you sound kind of like him. But some other ones say Elias, which is Elijah. And then some others say, you know, one of the old prophets that's risen again. So there's all kinds of opinions that can occur about you based on some aspect of you that people have seen. And so Jesus says back to them, okay, that's what the people say, but now those of you who have been walking close with me, those that get me, those that understand me, those that hear my explanations, those that see me in the tough times and the better times, who do you say that I am? Those of you who have spent time with me, those of you who actually understand me, those of you who know the well from which cometh every word that I say and my intentions and why I'm here, what do you guys say? Now that you've told me what the people say, hopefully the answer is not the same as the people. So he says, who do you all say that I am? And Peter, and you know it's always Peter. Peter's always up front. Ooh, 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 me first. I'm that one. Anybody identify with Peter? Anybody one of those people? Willing to admit it? Peter said, answering, he says, the Christ of God. That's a big deal. See, we say Christ like it's Jesus's last name. Jesus Christ. At that time, no, he's the anointed one. He's the Messiah, the Mashiach, the one that they've been waiting for a really, 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 really long time. You don't come along saying I'm the Christ and not get all kinds of attention. Okay? So he says, you're the Christ. Now that's like you know how you ask questions, you don't expect people to have the answer? Well, he got the answer right on the button, as my daughter would say, button. The Christ of God. And Jesus is like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Verse 21, and straightway he charged them and commanded them to tell no man this thing. You actually understand who I am. I have that same testimony. We can't get into it very much, but there's some things about my life. There's some things a couple of you know. I don't want you telling everybody that. There's a time for that. And there's some things about you. Some of us, there's going to be a moment where you're going to break through, and it's going to make a big old splash. And premature, you cannot get that out there prematurely. So enjoy this quiet time. Enjoy it. So he straightly charged them. No, don't tell anybody. You got it on the button. Let me just, good job, a star on your paper, A plus, keep it to yourself. And so he went on to say, the Son of Man, here's why I want you to keep it to yourself in verse 22. The Son of Man, meaning himself, has got to suffer some serious stuff, and I don't, and it ain't for now. So keep your mouth shut, or else I'll have to deal with it prematurely. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes. These are the key religious people. So I've got to be rejected by the key religious folk and also be slain. So I've also got to be killed and raised on the third day. So I'm giving you the synopsis right here. Boom, one sentence. Okay, you're saying I'm the Christ, I'm the Messiah. You're right. Keep it to yourself. Because here's what's got to happen. I've got to suffer stuff. I've got to have the main people examine me and then reject me and then kill me. And I've got to rise the third day. Did you get all that? Now, you know who I am. Now, let me just tell you what I've got to go through. So I don't want to have to go through it prematurely. So don't tell people who I am prematurely. Amen? It doesn't change who you are. It just talks about the timing. So he's given a synopsis of his whole purpose down here on earth in one little verse. Amen? And so understand what I want you to know here, because it's going to be beautiful when we go to this other section in another book in a second. He says that he's going to have to suffer many things, and he's going to have to be rejected by who? The elders and the chief priests and the scribes. Tell me again, who is he going to be examined by and rejected by?
Elders, chief priests, and scribes.
All right, and who is he talking to?
Disciples.
Mm-hmm. And especially who?
Peter.
Yes, very good. You guys are listening. Amen. He's going to be jacked up, and he's going to be rejected. Now, understand rejected. This word rejected doesn't just mean, oh, I just reject you. It actually means I'm examining you, like people on an assembly line and they take all the bad stuff off. I'm examining you carefully. I'm going to decide that you are disqualified and reject you. So just doesn't just mean, oh, we don't like you. You're not saying what you want. No. We're going to actually examine me carefully. So they're actually going to look up close at me. They're not like, oh, Jesus, this guy, they're not paying attention to where Jesus is about. No. They're actually going to look carefully. They're going to come to the conclusion that I'm a fraud. They're going to come to the conclusion that I'm not who you now just said who I am. They're going to look at me carefully and reject me off this assembly line. Are you hearing me so far?
Amen.
So we need to understand this so that we can learn from the rest of what we're going to learn from. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So now, in verse 23, and he said to them all, what? Read it for me.
If any man will come after you, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Read the other verse, verse 24. So I told you guys I'm preaching to myself. I hope you get something. I pray that you will. And those who are called and have accepted the call to do a really hard thing and are willing to weather and handle the really difficult moments, the painful moments, the lonely moments, the very scarce moments. When people ask you things like, how many people do you have? How many members do you have? And you know you're doing what God has asked you to do. And you're trying to do good and people can't hear it as good or they don't feel it as good. It can be difficult. He says to them, if any man is going to come after me, if you're going to follow me, if you're going to do what I've asked you to do, if you're going to live by the program I've called you to live by, then he's got to do what? Deny himself. Now, this word deny does not mean like I'm going on a fast or I'm on a diet. I'm going to deny. It can mean that, okay? It's not just saying no to yourself. This word deny means to repudiate. It means to disown, to disavow. If you are going to follow me, you've got to disavow the you that wants to live the life that you planned to live. If you're going to follow me, you're going to have to disavow and say, I don't even know that man or woman that wanted all the things that had their whole life planned out their way. To follow me, you're going to have to deny yourself. It means, yes, you're going to have to not have some stuff on your terms and in your time and in your way, but it means to disavow that man or woman. I'm not saying that the dreams and the hopes and the plans and desires were inherently bad, but unless they are exactly what God ordained, you need to tell that person, that version of you, get thee behind me. If you're going to follow me, this is what you got to be down with. This is who you got to be. If you're going to come after me, you've got to deny yourself. You've got to say, self, you're not such a bad person, but you're not exactly in line with what God called me to be, so you got to get behind me. Self, I'm not saying what you want and what you desire is a bad thing. I'm not saying it's bad to want a husband. I'm not saying it's bad to want a wife. I'm not saying it's bad to want a car or a house. I'm not saying it's bad to want to have children. I'm not saying it's bad to want to have a good career and a high position. But if it's not consistent with what God has called you to do, get thee behind me, self. That version of myself, I will disavow him. Because he might think he deserves something other than or more than God is giving him. Get thee behind me. If you're going to follow me, you need to deny that person. You need to disavow. I don't know that dude. What? I don't know him. I'm not down with him. This is what you got to do. This is Jesus talking now. He said, hey, you got it right. You know who I am. But do you know what I got to go through? Do you know who you're really hanging with? Do you know the program you really signed up for? So if you're going to be down with me, you got to deny yourself. And he ain't done yet. And what? Take up his cross daily and follow me. I want you to pay attention to this. So first of all, I need you to disavow that other person. Can you do that? Can you imagine that? Take up your cross daily. Now, what he's talking about, he's actually using the description or the picture here. They knew what it meant to take up your cross. To take up your cross meant you're about to be crucified. Meant you're about to go through some stuff. You're about to go through some tests and trials. The most difficult form of capital punishment that existed at the time. Torture. And you, after they beat you up, you're going to carry your own source of pain. You get to actually bear the burden voluntarily of the thing that's going to give you pain. Come on now. You get to spend hours preparing something, giving up your time and your energy and your effort to give something to somebody, and they're going to spit in your face. They're going to twist your words around. They're going to sully your name. And you're going to voluntarily carry that burden. For who? It don't even get, after all that you go through, it don't even get to be about you. Ain't that something? You're going to carry this burden. The thing that's going to hurt you, real pain, real difficulty, real heartache, real disappointment, and it don't even get to be about you. If you want to hang with me, this is what you're signing up for. You still good? This is what he's saying. Whew. You got to deny yourself, and you got to take up your cross. And then you've got to follow me, not your steps, but follow me. Just knowing this so far should help you to understand why it feels the way it feels sometimes to actually follow God. Some people will tell you, oh, you can't be following God if your church ain't growing. I reject that in the name of Jesus forcefully. I get that theology. I understand that theology. But that's not correct. Jesus' church got smaller. The closer he got to doing the real thing that he was here for, the smaller his church got. Because people couldn't be down like this. Amen?
Amen.
So now let's go. We're going to learn. Now hopefully you all understand what I just said. Now we're going to learn through an example. So let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 26. Yeah, 26. And we're going to be looking at verses 69 through 75. I'm preaching to myself, but I want you to get some of it. The more of you that can embrace this and need this, that means there's just that many more people who are really trying to be committed to God and his program, which means you have felt the parchedness of your lips in the desert of the place that he asked you to go. And it is hard. And that desert gets big and it don't seem fair. Don't seem fair. And yet you got to voluntarily carry that cross. Did I mention that you've been beaten up as you do this? Okay, you got to carry that cross. And that's the thing. That's the instrument. You carry in the instrument. You're going to voluntarily help them with the process of hurting you. And it don't even get to be about you. Woo. Pastor Trina, I hope I'm helping you, dear. I'm helping me. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Am I taking up my cross? When you take up your cross and you are going to the place where the cross is going to take your life, what you're telling people by actually carrying your cross every day is, you know what? You need not threaten me. You need not judge me with the how many people thing, because I've already relinquished all that to God. You can't take away something I've already given up. You can't threaten my life. You can't threaten my pride by asking me how many people I got. You can't threaten it. I've already given all that up. I'm carrying this voluntarily. I've already given up my life. You can't take it. I've already given up my pride. You can't take it. I've already given up my notoriety. You can't take it. You can't take it. I've already said I'm ride or die. So the conditions don't matter. When I ride or die, I don't know if I'm going to run into 300 or 3,000 or 3. I said I'm ride or die. I don't know how many I'm going to have to take on. I said I would ride or die. I'm helping me. Because I want to continue to take up my cross. Now listen to me, daily. That means after you do it one day and that was hard. You got to get up the next day or the next Sunday. Really? And while you're carrying that cross, you pass up golf courses and all kind of beautiful days outside while you waiting for that right thing to happen. Amen? For that beautiful new day. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Sometimes it'd be easier to just put me on the cross and kill me. Because getting up every day, continuing to do this, continuing to carry this cross, continuing to volunteer and take the humiliation and tough it out, it'd be better. Just put me up. Could you just put me up there? Because this is harder. Every day. At least I just have one day and it's over. But carrying it every day is hard. And this is what people who suffer with depression feel like. Every day I have to carry. It's harder. My day is harder than your days. At least that's how it feels to me. And you don't understand. So you're living in a world with people who cannot see your pain and bleeding. So you cannot explain it to them. But you had to get through a day, and for them it was a day. To you it felt like a week. And you can't explain it. Or maybe you're too prideful and you can't tell anybody. Or you're afraid what they're going to say or what they're going to think about you. It's hard carrying that cross, that burden, day in and day out. So if you're feeling that difficulty, if you're feeling that pain, that burden, that challenge, I'm just trying to tell you, the Bible understands, God understands. The Bible describes why God would understand. Amen?
Amen.
So it might even feel easier to you to just put me up on the cross than having to bear this thing day in and day. But what did Jesus say? You're going to have to carry it daily if you're following me. Whew, isn't that something? Give me a different assignment, Lord. Give me a different calling, Lord. Can I live some of the life I wanted to live, Lord? This disappointment is too difficult. And sometimes you might even get resentful. You ever been disappointed and resentful of the stuff that you had to voluntarily do that hurts so much, that's so hard and harder than it needs to be and seems unfair? When we feel disappointed and resentful, here's what that means. It means we have not disavowed. You can't feel that way unless you had some plans that got disappointed. You can't feel that way unless you feel like the you that you're supposed to disavow deserves something better. It's not possible to feel that stuff without having an opinion about the you that you should be disavowing, what they were supposed to have and supposed to be able to do and supposed to benefit from. It's not possible. That disappointment, that frustration, that anger, that resentment is purely a reflection of that person that should be dead, that you should have disowned. I ought to have this by now. I ought to have that by now. Should have been able to accomplish this by now. Who's talking? Is God in control? Okay, God's in control, so what's the problem? Me. Who's that talking? That person. Because ride or die ain't complaining about how many going to be there, what car we drove in, what we packing whatever we packing. Ride or die doesn't get resentful. Ride or die is ride or die, which means you got to be ready to die, which means you've already committed yourself to being dead. You're just as good as dead. If you live through it, great, that's fine. But what your commitment is what you're focused on. I'm ride or die. What does that say? It ain't about the ride. It ain't about the dying. It's about I'm committed. When somebody says they're ride or die. And so you can't ride unless you're ready to die. You can't ride unless you're ready to be on that cross. It ain't just no game. You can't ride unless you're really rocking and rolling. I'm preaching to me, and it's helping me. Amen?
Amen?
So let's get this example here to drive this point home. We're going to Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 through 75. Now, the occasion is the same brother that we just talked about, right? Peter. Now, before we go there real quick, do something for me. Go over to verse 56, okay? Because this is where, you know, they've taken Jesus and he's now in deep, deep trouble. It says, but all this was done that the scriptures and the prophets might be fulfilled. In other words, Jesus turned himself over. They couldn't really take Jesus if he didn't want them to take him. And Peter, you know, whacked off the guy's ear, and Jesus said, no, let's put the ear back on. It ain't that kind of party, Peter. Because Peter said, oh, no, ain't nobody, these other jokers might disown you or turn his back on you, but not me. I'm down. I'm ride or die. He said, dude, you don't even know. You have no eye. I hear you talking. You're sounding good. You have no idea. Before the cock crows, before the rooster goes cock-a-doodle-doo, you're going to deny me not once. Not twice, but three times. But no, I'm going to show you I'm down. When they come to get you, whack! That's your ear. There's more coming. Try me now. Ooh, that dude is down. Guess what? Put the ear back. It ain't that kind of party. Peter was committed, but he really didn't know what he was committing to. He was ready to fight an earthly fight. with a leader who was ready to fight. He was right, but he was wrong. His leader was fighting a different kind of fight. He was leading all along. He was winning the battle while it looked like he was losing. Peter didn't understand that. He was committed, but he didn't fully understand what he was committed to. He was willing to carry a cross, but he didn't understand the cross he was willing to carry, and he hadn't fully disavowed the old Peter. He gave up his profession, but he hadn't given up himself. So let's see here. It says, so that the scriptures may be fulfilled. And then what does it say after that? Then all of his disciples did one, turned tail and ran. These are the same guys he's been with all this time, the same guys that heard what was going to go down with him, the same guys he's washed their feet and all this sort of stuff. Turn, tail, and now there's at least three in the garden with him. They couldn't stay awake, but at least there were three, James and John and Peter. And now all, how many? All of them turn, tail, and ran. Isn't that something? When it gets to your toughest time, it can be lonely. They can say they're down with you until it gets hard. Mm-hmm. Till it gets difficult. Amen? Amen. So Peter was very prominent. He was always up front. Hey, I'm that guy. He's always made it clear that he is ride or what? Die. Always ready to fight. But his master was waging a spiritual war, not the war that he thought he was signing up for. And so Jesus is now, as we approach verse 69, Jesus has been interrogated by, as a matter of fact, this is really nice. This is fun stuff. Real quick, I want you to see verse 57. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to who? Caiaphas the what? The high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. What did our other part of the text say that Jesus is going to be examined thoroughly and rejected by? The high the priest. Yes. So now we've confirmed the connection, right? And so verse 69, now Peter, while Jesus is being interrogated and beaten up and slapped and spat upon and being called a heretic, that he's blaspheming, and they've decided that he deserves death. Everybody's run away, but you know Peter's different. Peter is us. No. I'm not those guys who ran away. I'm trying to be here. I'm here. Are you really here, though? I'm here. I'm close. I'm not in the room getting beaten up, but I'm close. I'm really trying to be ride, but the or die part. I showed up, but did I really deny myself and really carry the cross? So let's see. So now Peter sat without, just outside in the palace while all this stuff is happening to Jesus. They just said, say, prophesy to us, thou Christ. Who is he that just slapped you? So he was so, they were beating him up and they were jacking him up so much that he got slapped and he couldn't even know who slapped him. That's how bad it was. So why don't you prophesy, who just slapped you? You're so tough. You're so smart. You're so powerful. You're the anointed one. And so Peter, while all this is going on, he sat outside in the palace, and a damsel, meaning a young woman, came unto him saying, what? Tell me what she says. So now, she says, wait a minute, you were also with that Jesus dude. I want you to underline in your Bible, Galilee. If you have a paper Bible. So, hey, wait a minute. You were also with that Jesus dude of Galilee. This is important. I want you to learn something. I want you to learn that this is extra, okay? I want you to learn about commitment. I want you to learn about, you know, carrying your cross. I want you to learn about denying, disavowing that person. But I also want you to learn something from this text that you're going to use to illuminate when you tell somebody else. Hey, wait a minute. You were with that Jesus of Galilee dude. It's important, the Galilee part. So what do you do now? You say, yeah, that's right. I'm rolling like that. What you going to do about it? Is that what he said? And what does he say in verse 70? I don't know what you're talking about. So he denied, meaning he disavowed. It doesn't mean he just said, no, I don't think so. He disavowed. That's what that word means. Saying, I don't know what you're talking about. You ever done that? Wait a minute, weren't you with Jesus? Now, what's wrong with being with Jesus? Well, Jesus is caught up now. Jesus ain't fighting this battle physically, and now he's being beaten up, and that's what I'm going to get. Now, I've been carrying my cross, right? Meaning I'm ready to, I'm ride or die, but now the die part don't sound so good. I'm there. I showed up to the fight, but not to the actual arena. He said, I don't know what you, what? You were with that Jesus? Yeah. You were with that Jesus. There's lots of Jesuses, right? There's lots of Joshuas. That one from Galilee. Here's what I want you to understand. Here's the context. Unless it was High Holy Days, people from way up north didn't hang out down south. Unless it's time for Coachella, people in San Francisco don't hang out in Palm Springs area. So I know, wait a minute now, it ain't Coachella. So I hear how you talk. You say dude too much. You're from up north. So wait a minute. We don't have a lot of Galileans around here very often. So we noticed you. So I know that you were with him. I don't know what you're talking about, dude. I don't know what you're talking about. Strike number one. Oh, but I'm carrying my cross. I'm down. I'm ride or die. I'm that guy. I'm that one. I'll lop off an ear in a minute. You know I'm down until your commitment gets challenged in a way you didn't plan. So he denied it. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. Verse 71. And so when he had gone out into the porch, so in other words, let me get a little further away. I was down, but there's too many people recognizing me, so let me get a little bit further away. He went out to the porch. Another woman saw him and said unto him, or them that were there. In other words, she's not just telling him, hey, you guys, wait a minute. Hey, wait. You see this dude right here? This fellow was also with who? Jesus of Nazareth. Not just any old Joshua, but that dude from Nazareth. You know those guys that we notice because they're a little different? Because they're not from our hood. We noticed those red rags. You didn't think we noticed because your pants were down and your shirt was way down. You didn't think we could see. We saw a little bit of that red rag hanging but underneath your plaid shirt or your khakis outfit. And so what does Peter say in verse 72? And again he what? I do not know the man. Now, this time he's saying, I swear to God, I don't know that dude. But here's the thing. In the Greek, what he's really saying, I've never even laid eyes. I don't know who. Literally, I do not know this guy. I'm ride or die. I'm that one. For a certain kind of fight, I was committed. But now that I find out it ain't that kind of fight, what am I going to do? I got the ride part, but not the die part. I haven't crucified. I haven't gotten rid of. I haven't denied that guy that feels like he desires to live. Even if it means denying, disavowing his very leader. his very Savior, because he said he's the anointed one. Jesus already told him what the anointed one is going to have to go through. He knows all this, and he still can't commit when it comes down to it. I swear, so you really believe me. You ever sweared on a lie? I swear to God. If he was standing here, I couldn't tell you who he was. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, what?
Surely thou also art one of them.
So guess what? I know you've been denying it all this time, but I got absolute proof that you were with him, because we don't have Galileans down here on a day-to-day basis. Y'all the only ones. We know you were there. You know how I know you're with him? You know how I know you can't deny him? Because your dialect, because your accent. I know you from Galilee, and all the Galileans down here are hanging out with him. So the very words that you use to deny and to lie betray you. You'd have been better off saying nothing, because as soon as you open your mouth, I know you're a Galilean. Because you got a Galilean accent. The very words that you use to deny, to lie, I know who you are. I know you are down with that man. I know, because your very speech betrays you. Ain't that something? Peter is intensely disavowing his Lord now a third time. And in verse 74, then began he to what?
Curse.
I mean, this time, I got you dead to rights. You speak Galilean, and ain't no other Galileans around here but you all. Gotcha. So does he say, okay, you're right? No. Now he just start cursing. now he really going in. Wow. So in other words, when things got tougher, when he had a chance to just admit it, God has pointed out that sin. He's finally pointed out that flaw. He's finally pointed out that weakness, and you've been fighting it all along. And here is the moment you can finally just give it and say, Lord, I'm sorry. You're right. No, you go harder. You dig your heels in deeper. You know what that means? That means you love you some you. That means you love that very one that is not in your best interest. The one you should be disavowing is the one you are loving. The one that's going to make you live for now and not later. The one that's going to make you live for here and not there. The one that's going to make you live for you and not him. If you still love you some you, you can't ride or die. Because it's going to be tested. Amen? So he began to curse and to swear, saying what? I know not the man. In other words, I don't know who you're talking about. I haven't seen him. And what? Immediately, the cock crew, meaning, oh, man, I did it. Three times he said I was going to do it before the cock crew. And Peter remembered then the words of Jesus and said unto him, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me three times. And what did Peter do? He went out and he wept bitterly. He was bitterly disappointed in himself. His commitment was tested in a way he didn't expect. My commitment has been tested in a way I did not expect, whether it's here, whether it's on the job. Your commitment might have been tested in a way you didn't expect, because you thought your life was going to go a certain way. You thought ministry was going to go a certain way. Peter hadn't denied himself. He hadn't denied that one that deserves stuff, that one that had desires, that one that had sort of plans for his life and or ministry. So are we ready to truly deny ourselves and take up that cross and be right or die? I think we're all committed to something. I think in this case, we're all committed to this ministry. Just understand that challenge is going to look different than what you thought sometime. The timing is going to be different from what you expected. The pain, the disappointments, the betrayals, whatever, it's going to be stuff you didn't see coming. You're not the first. You won't be the last. So let go of your plans, your tactics, your techniques, and your timing. I'll let go of my plans. I'll let go of my tactics, my techniques, and I will let go of my timing if I have any. Amen?
Amen?
And let's commit to God's plan and God's way and God's timing. It is not, nor will it be easy, but it's worth it to be ride or die with God, to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and let all the other stuff be added unto you in God's timing. To be God's man or woman is what we're trying to do. Amen.